the Popcorn Boys. We're coming in hot. We are coming at you live from Culver City, California. I'm Kyle Jamison. With me is Daniel Trainer. Daniel.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever hallucinated a room full of Guy Fieri's?
You know, as an avid Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives viewer, I do sometimes dream of Guy.
You dream of Guy?
I dream of Guy. Now, Guy Fieri, and I, listen, people love to shit on Guy Fieri. Guy Fieri is one of the greatest humans we have.
Oh.
He's one of the greatest Americans of all time.
It's frankly true.
Yeah, I know. Okay, first of all, we already have a problem.
What?
We're sitting here recording this while there's a college basketball game on the background. We were 10 seconds into the episode, and you're already distracted by the basketball.
I'm not distracted. I can multitask.
Okay, fine.
No, Guy is a legend, of course.
Absolute goat. Absolute goat.
Anybody who can wear sunglasses backwards on the back of their neck.
You can end the sentence there.
And not be canceled by society. Winner in my book.
But it is funny. It feels like he has gone through this, like, trajectory where he was such a punchline for so long. And somehow he does seem to have come out on this other end where it's like, no, he's actually pretty great. And I think that's because people who, like, know him and are around him are like, he's, like, a really good person.
It's kind of like the Pitbull trajectory.
No, it's not at all. It's actually nothing of the sort.
No, it is.
Pitbull...
Came on
a lot of people talking about Pitbull these days.
Came onto the scene hot. You know, everybody.
What was Pitbull's first big hit?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, Pitbull.
But, like, everyone made fun of him for a while, and then everyone
came
around.
And they still are.
Like, Pitbull's the best.
No, it's obviously not the same
thing. No,
Pitbull is dead. Pitbull's career is found dead in a ditch.
No, Pitbull is bigger than Guy Fieri.
No, unfortunately, that is absolutely untrue. How many restaurants does Pitbull have?
Probably a lot.
Probably 100.
Anyway, of course.
Did Pitbull ever put nachos in a trash can? I don't think so.
I mean, probably.
Mr. 305. Mr. 305 has never had a nacho. I'll tell you that right now.
Should there be... My biggest question on this.
On what?
On 80 for Brady.
Oh, really jumping ahead here, huh?
Should there be a category at the Oscars for best performance as yourself?
That's a good question. You know what would be another fun one? Best scene.
Just best scene?
Yeah. Why isn't that a category?
It really... I mean,
best scene. That's a good category idea.
That's excellent.
Best scene. Anyway, who would be the nominees this year for best performance as themselves? And would they all be from 80 for Brady, the feature film?
Well, I guess this would be next year's Oscars.
Right. Well, who...
Yeah. But we have some... I mean, Tom Brady, Guy Fieri...
Rob Gronkowski.
Gronk. Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola.
They're all nominated.
There must have been 500 other people who played themselves in
this movie. It was kind of unclear whether a lot of people who made cameos in this movie were playing themselves.
Well, Harry Hamlin is around playing a former football player.
Was Marshawn Lynch playing himself?
Oh, good question. Probably, right?
Yeah.
Was he ever called Marshawn? Was Retta... Now, was Retta... Was she doing character work in the poker scene?
All right, we're going to dive into all of that good
stuff. We're really burying the lead here where this is the most important episode in Popcorn Boys history, I think, the 80 for Brady episode.
Huh?
We're burying the lead a little... Like, this...
We're talking about 80 for Brady. What do you mean?
I understand, but, like, we're not... Like, it feels like this should be... I don't know. It just feels like we haven't acknowledged how this is the most important episode in the history of the podcast. And how it might not exist after this. Because where do we go from there? Or from here? We're going to talk about 65.
It's a great point. Let's skip all the other stuff and let's just talk about 80 for Brady.
I'm serious. Okay, fine. What else is there to say?
Well, we don't need to update the box office challenge. We already crowned a winner last week. Whenever the last time we did this podcast was.
Who fucking knows? It could have been 8 years ago.
And we're two seconds into the 2023 challenge. So we'll skip in box office. We'll end the episode with some thoughts on Knock at the Cabin. But
okay.
Let's just go right into the old...
This is also an afternoon record.
It doesn't feel right.
It has a different energy
to it.
It
doesn't feel right.
We're fresh from brunch.
I just woke up from a nap.
Yeah, fresh from brunch. Your light is on your phone, shining in my eye for some reason.
I accidentally turned my flashlight on.
We spent $150 at brunch on... I probably would have been happier going to spend $8 at Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Here's a question for you. Have you had a chance to talk to the waiter?
No, haven't met him yet.
Kyle and I were at brunch today. We had been there for, I would say, an hour.
At least.
And some gentlemen who had never been over to the table yet. But what was weird is, like, we had food. We had food in front of us. We had drinks in front of us. And some guy who had never spoken to us came over and said, "Now, have you had a chance to speak to the waiter?"
It's like, does he have some bad news for us?
What does that mean?
Did we just eat poison?
And we didn't really answer, did we? Because he came right then.
Yeah, he was like, this is...
Very strange. Have you had a chance to speak to the waiter?
Right, because he was taking our...
He took the check.
He's taking the check, but... Yeah, I don't know what that meant. I still don't know what that meant.
Have you had a chance to speak to the waiter?
It would have been great, actually, if the waiter didn't come right in that moment, so we would have been forced to answer the question.
Oh, I know. And then we're like, yes?
No.
Maybe we didn't cook the food ourselves. Could have done a better job.
Well.
You finally got your toast. Anyway.
Pretty good toast.
The toast looked pretty good.
It's pretty tasty toast.
Here's the thing. A $16 mimosa.
Well, four of them.
Well, here, didn't stop me from getting another one, of course, but... $16. Like, it is funny that you can get away with charging that.
It's wild.
We know what's in it. And also, that champagne or whatever the fuck, I'm sure was not good.
No.
And also, this one, we haven't even talked about this. Netflix did send me a bottle of champagne. Thank you. And we are drinking it now. And this was, what, $100?
Probably.
We looked it up. The bottle's $100. This tastes like something that I get at $4.99. For $4.99.
Yeah.
Everything's a scam. Kansas is up by seven.
Once you reach the like $8 bottle price point on champagne, there's no difference.
Oh, totally. 100%. Anyway.
So 80 for Brady.
Oh my God.
Most importantly, I have popped my Culver Theater chair.
Yes, you have. Now, how did that feel?
I mean, what better way to debut my presence at the Culver Theater than to watch on the big screen NFL films behind the footage of the greatest football game ever played.
Wow.
It was worth it just for that.
Where did you watch that game in real life?
I don't know. I mean, I was at home.
What Super Bowl did we watch together? At my parents' house.
That was Eagles-Patriots.
Right, yes.
That sucked.
It seemed insane that you did that. I mean, we loved having you.
Why was that insane?
I don't know. Like, I wouldn't, if I were you, I would not have wanted to watch that game with my family. I would have wanted to watch it either, like, alone or...
Yeah. I mean...
It was great to have you, though. It was great to have you.
Yeah.
Yes. So your Culver Theater impressions.
Not a single thing has changed since it was the Arclight.
Is it not one of the stranger places you've ever been?
Oh, it's completely maniacal. There's no one there.
There's more employees than people going to the movies.
Everything costs $100.
Oh, of course. We got to get out of here. We got to join the mass exodus. I mean, 700,000 people have left in the past however many years. I mean, that's all anybody's talking about.
I think the popcorn was like $12.
Really?
I think so.
What did I get? Did I get popcorn?
I think so.
Yeah, I did. I was going to get real food because it's the sort of vibe there where you're, like, they have a whole food menu up on the board. But I feel like if you were to be like, "Hi, can I get the flatbread?" They'd be like, "Oh God,
Tried to get a hot dog, and they're like, "It's gonna be
oh, that's right,
a while."
That's insane. They have this whole food menu. No one's ever ordered anything.
I was like, I can't miss the beginning of 80 for Brady.
I know.
You kidding me?
Unbelievable. It's a very weird vibe there.
Oh, yeah.
But I love it.
Oh, best place in the world. Can't wait to go back.
I know.
So.
Where to even...
It is hard to kind of...
Begin.
Now, 80 for Brady. Why don't we just... For those unfamiliar, why don't you do a quick synopsis of 80 for Brady? Yeah.
Okay. So there's these old broads who live in Massachusetts. Although, is it ever established that they actually live? I mean, they do, I guess. But they live in Massachusetts. These four old ladies. They're so feeble and old. And one day, they started watching football.
Accidentally
started watching football. They never cared about this stuff in their lives.
Well, of course, it was happened in 2001.
We were all reeling.
We were all reeling. They couldn't find the remote, so they didn't change the channel. Poor Drew Bledsoe in this movie gets served up shafted on a platter. You know, he gets his spleen ruptured or whatever the hell happened, a punctured lung or whatever happened.
Unbelievable.
And then guess who checks in? And all of a sudden, these four old ladies who, I guess it was 20 years ago, so it was 60 for Brady at the time.
And I do love that they are just, right. Well, that's a whole other thing. They go back in time 20 years, they look exactly the same. But it's never not explicitly clear that the only reason they started watching football is because they wanted to fuck Tom Brady.
Oh, yeah.
That's the entire reason. And look, they don't care.
That's great. No, I support it.
Sure. I mean, he's really going through it.
Who?
Tom. In real life in 2023.
He's fine.
No, he is divorced dad energy out the wazoo. Who cares? It's just the lamest person on earth.
He's loving life.
There's no more depressed person on earth than Tom Brady. He is not loving life. He has no wife, no career, doesn't really get to see his kids. He doesn't have any friends, by the way. Who is Tom Brady's friend?
He's got plenty of friends.
No, name one. He's not like
that trainer guy, Alex Guerrero.
Well, that's a whole we can get into that.
Gronk?
There's no way. Do you think Tom Brady has Gronk's phone number? Honestly. They're not friends. I can see him being friends with like Julian Edelman.
Imagine Brady like watching, you know, he's watching like a documentary or something. He's like, who should I text about this? He's looking through his phone like, there's no way Gronk has seen this shit.
No, but like, who? I don't think he has friends.
He has tons of friends.
You haven't been able to name one.
I named two.
The trainer who he's having sex with.
And Gronk.
And he is not friends with Gronk. I bet he's friends with a lot of like weird, like, I don't know, right wing. He's probably like Alex Jones is like on his what? MySpace
you
top have, 8.
You know so little about Tom Brady, it's shocking.
What are you talking about? I would really like to get it. What are you talking about?
You have no idea what you're talking about.
What? That his politics are bad?
You know nothing about his politics.
I only know what he's told me.
Which is what?
Please. Okay, mister, I have the Make America Great Again hat in my locker. Obviously voted for Trump, is a fan of Trump.
When there's no way. All right.
Please. Okay,
there's
you're
no
right.
way that Tom Brady has ever voted in his
Fine,
life.
Fine, you're right. He's never voted. Even worse. At least vote for someone. Like, I like how that's a... No, he didn't vote for Trump. He didn't vote. Well, at least vote for something. I mean, even worse. Had the thing, loves Trump. Trump is probably his friend. I bet he and Trump text.
Probably.
But
sounds great.
Got some backlash. I do agree that you're right, that he doesn't really know or really care about politics at all, but he also just, like, is friends with anybody or supports anybody who is sort of, you know, a rich white guy in line with sort of, like, his overall belief system. I don't really think he really cares about any of it, but, like, he obviously likes these people. He's a DeSantis fan. It's
sure.
No, please. Listen. The dude's a monster. Like, it's no secret that I think Tom Brady is absolute. I hate Tom Brady more than I hate Tom Cruise.
Absolutely.
And I hate Tom Cruise. I think Tom Cruise should be killed.
To hate either of them is absurd.
That's insane.
They're my two favorite people who have ever lived.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm really wondering why we're friends. Tom Brady, I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, say what you want about the guy. He's undeniably one of the lamer people on Earth, which is crazy because he's one of the best athletes of all time and still manages to be the lamest person you've ever seen.
Not true at all.
It's just one of the lamer people you've ever seen.
He's the coolest guy in the world other than Tom Cruise.
Cool. Tom Brady is cool.
He puts out funny social media videos.
He doesn't. First of all, he doesn't put those out.
He's 45. He doesn't run what do you want from him? Media.
He doesn't
He's 45 years old.
He does not have the password to his Twitter.
He's 45 years old. What do you want him to do?
So are you.
So what?
What do you mean, what I want him to do? Stop supporting, you know, people who want me dead?
He doesn't support any of these people. He literally went golfing with Trump once in 2015.
No, that's not all he pleased.
He literally hasn't said a single thing about it.
Please.
Find me anything.
Well, he did speak out against Trump after he lost the election, which makes it even worse, where he's like, all he wants to do is, like, associate with winners. Yeah, it's like, what it's do you just want embarrassing. To do? He's a loser.
He's a winner.
Anyway.
He's the greatest winner of all time.
Anyway, these four fucking broads want to suck his dick. Sorry.
Look, you...
Gene Fonda is so hungry for Tom Brady's cock. Okay, I have to edit some of this up. So these four ladies stumble upon watching football. Oh, there's Tommy. They love Tom Brady. You know, of course, Tom Brady takes the Patriots to excellence over the next however many years. Lily Tomlin has a health scare. She doesn't tell anybody about it, but this is sort of her big motivation for wanting to go to the Super Bowl. She gets up the support from the gals that they're going to go to the Super Bowl in Houston, go see the Patriots play the Falcons in the Super Bowl, and they're going to have the time of their lives. And let me tell you, chaos
ensues. They do indeed have the time of their life. Now, there's this whole...
Did it seem like they had fun?
Oh, they... yeah. Yeah, I think they had a blast.
I mean, they aren't, we're able to get into the locker room...
They did drugs. They went to a fun party. They won a wing competition.
Oh, my God.
They were in the locker room. They were talking to the offensive coordinator.
You're spoiling everything.
Oh, sorry. Well, you asked if they had fun. Okay. I had to hit the beats. The fun beats.
Fine. The fun beats, unlike the ones on my fucking brunch today.
Oh, you had beats?
Yeah, there were beats in there.
Oh.
They were fine.
Yeah. Beats aren't very good.
But they were... Oh, I love a beat. But it was... They're like raw beats. Just fine. Prefer them a little cooked.
You don't like raw beats?
What does that mean? Is it some sort of sexual...
Yes, it was.
Raw
Congratulations.
Beats? What is a beat?
Beat off!
Oh, I see. Is there any other kind of raw beat?
Once
you get going...
I'm going back to bed.
Yeah, this afternoon energy is something's off. You'd think it'd be the opposite.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, all right. 80
so there's
for Brady.
Boston Sports Radio. They've got four Super Bowl tickets, and the girls band together to win said tickets. And then they don't.
Oh.
But there's a whole. They believe they do. What happened there?
Lily Tomlin lies.
I know, she but why did they think that they won? She just told them?
She's told them that they won.
Okay.
Because she wanted to go because she thought she was dying. But she thought she was dying because she didn't return a call from her doctor. I mean, this gal, I mean, she's just really jumped the gun. She thought that she was dying, or at least in some way was like, you know, felt like she was getting old, might be the last chance for them to all go. Lied and said that they won the tickets, but then just bought four tickets on her own. Which,
right.
How'd she get that money?
Well,
what do any of these women do for work? I mean, Sally Field's character is her husband's slave. Jane Fonda writes erotica about Gronk.
Yeah, she's selling...
That was another thing
She has best-selling novels.
That was another thing. I actually did...
They're like popped up in the airport.
They popped up at NFL Fan Fest, which is a big set piece. I did want to look up the real story of these ladies. Like how much of that is true.
Should have done that.
I bet it's like none... I mean, obviously like none of the stuff in the movie, like all the crazy shit actually happened. Like, but I do like...
Yeah, hold on.
Is of the Lily Tom, like, I assume they just, like, actually won a contest and went, or maybe they just bought tickets and went, and it was, like, this thing. They're like, oh, wow, these four old women went to a Super Bowl, and that was, like...
for Brady. Real story. As profiled on CBS Sunday Morning, the real 80 for Brady Club consisted of five women.
Five?
Elaine, Betty, Anita, Pat, and Claire. Wow. Oh. They united in their love for the New England Patriots and star quarterback Tom Brady after they all became widows.
Well, why isn't that part of the thing?
That's such a better story. I will give you $1,000 if you can name the director of 80 for Brady.
Oh. Now, was it... It wasn't Spielberg.
It was Tom Brady. Tom Brady directed it.
Did produce.
Somebody named Kyle Marvin.
Oh.
And the tagline, best friends get into the best kind of trouble.
Oh, now these
And did they ever.
These gals love trouble. Now, really,
a quartet of elderly best friends decide to live life to the
elderly
fullest by taking a wild trip to the Super Bowl to see their hero Tom Brady
not
play.
Elderly.
I mean, if that's not the best movie of all time, I don't know what it is.
By the way, I'm looking up Kyle Marvin, and I was going to look up Kyle Marvin director. Looked up Kyle Jameson director.
Oh, did you find anything?
I did not click search. Kyle Marvin. Now, what has he been up to?
Let's see.
The climb, hunter gatherer, kicks, if you will.
Oh my God, the real women are great. The actual club is still going strong.
They're all live,
despite
still?
Losing members along the way. Elaine and Betty, who are 94 and 95 respectively, still watch the games together weekly. Claire has since passed away. And Anita and Pat live in an assisted living facility.
Oh, no. Oh. The same one that Jimmy Carter's in?
Oh, well, hold on. As Sally Fields notes, the story is embellished. Not all of it happened that way. Well, no shit.
Yeah, you don't say, Sally.
The real women, sadly, never attended a Super Bowl.
They never even went to a Super Bowl? All they do is watch the games? What? I thought they at least went to a Super Bowl together.
Yeah, they just watched. They just like Tom Brady.
Are you kidding me?
Here we go. I'm reading one of those stupid websites that talks about how historically accurate movies are.
Well, sorry, it sounds like my job, so.
All right, blah, blah, blah. Similar spirit of friendship. Where did the real woman live?
Okay, I don't care.
North Attleboro. Okay.
What
is that? It's not far from Foxborough, actually. How did they start their group? Game days became...
They never went to the Super Bowl.
In real life, the women came together after the death of their husbands.
Well, how'd they find each other?
Getting together at each other's houses.
Oh, no.
Betty told the Sun Chronicle that the fan club didn't gather when the Patriots played night games because the games were, quote, too late.
We should have gotten in touch with one of the ones in the assisted living home. See how they're doing.
The 80 for Brady real story confirms that they could be heard shouting at the TV, though in real life, they did not curse.
Okay. This is absurd. Oh,
they have described Tom Brady as handsome, adorable, gorgeous, and really handsome.
Wow.
Five women never made it to the Super Bowl. The rest of this is just about the movie. Did they enter a hot wing eating contest? No. That is entirely fictional.
Oh, my God.
Did they pose as backup dancers for the halftime show? No.
That's true. Oh.
Did they ever meet Tom Brady? No.
Well, wait. So this schmuck hasn't gone to meet these broads?
Elaine told CBS Sunday Morning, I hope we see him before we die. To which Betty replied, they better hurry up.
Oh, no.
Admittedly, Betty and Elaine were upset when Brady signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I was angry with him. I wanted to kill him. They've learned to accept the decision, and sometimes they'll put Bucks games on a second TV so they can see how he's doing. Wow.
Wow. There's no way they know how to do that.
Unbelievable stuff.
Wow. So in reality, it was just four old women who sat around watching Patriots games sometimes.
Well, day games, yeah.
Do they even watch the Super Bowl? That's at night.
That's pretty early. It's at like 6, 6:30.
That's pretty late. I mean, that's later. I mean, oh, sure. God. They've probably never watched a Super Bowl.
So, wow. All right. Favorite scenes in 80 for Brady. Go.
I don't even know where to begin. I mean, there's only one answer.
There's only one answer.
It's when? After the gals managed to sneak into the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And sneak into Harry Hamlin's suite. Harry Hamlin, who apparently used to be...
They were invited into the suite by Harry himself.
Yeah, right. Yeah, because he wants to have sex with Jane Fonda. And who, by the way, who doesn't?
Most relatable beat of the whole movie.
A raw beat?
What?
A raw beat?
Oh, yeah.
So they're in the suite. They're hobnobbing. Now, this is something that really tickled me. When they got into the game... They didn't really seem very concerned with watching the action.
Oh, they were locked in.
They weren't. They're walking around the suite. They're hanging out.
Well, the worst part of the entire movie is there's a part where during the second half of the greatest comeback in sports history.
Wow.
They were in the suite, like, just watching on the TVs in the suite instead of watching the live game. I know. It's like, what are you doing? Get out there.
Unbelievable. So they're there. Now...
They're there, yeah, they are.
Now, they're in the suite. Now, they, you know, they're down 28-3. Everyone knows the story. Now, they're there, and these four gals, they say to themselves, you know, we got to do something.
We got
to
do something.
Tom needs our help. We need to do something about this. Now, they find out that, how does this happen? They find out somehow that there's, like, a speaker in the helmet. How do they find that?
Well, they see the
coordinator.
They're in the suite, and they look across the stadium, and somebody points out that, hey, that's where the Patriots coaches are.
Yeah, which no one would ever point that out. Hey, you know what's over there? The coaches.
Well, look, somebody pointed out, and you know what?
Now, did this happen in real life?
Yeah, this part is true.
This part is true.
When it was 28-3, the ladies did, in fact... sneak into the Patriots coaching booth.
Oh my God, reliving this. I want to go see this movie again right now.
And what happened? Like,
so they go in there, they wiggle their way into coordinator's room like it was nothing, by the way. Yeah, there's no even, they just walked right in.
Yeah, and two of the coaches left for some reason, but and they went in.
We're also supposed to, like, it's implied that, like, their suite was on, like, the same level. Did they? I don't even know how.
Yeah, just across.
So they go in there.
Stadium.
So they go in. They wiggle their way into the coordinator's room. And they say, now wait just a second. We need to talk to Tom. So they wiggle their little asses over there.
Yeah. Tom.
And they take over to, you know, Matt Patricia, who's not named in the film.
Thank God.
Unfortunately. So they get on there, and they start talking to Tom from up in the coordinator's box. And then that's when Tom Brady looks up at them. And this is actual Tom. Like, Tom is in the movie, for those who have. Tom is in multiple scenes in this film.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks up there, and he takes their words of encouragement. He says, you know what, gals, you're right. And he goes back out there and leads them to victory.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
That's how it goes. It was the greatest motivational speech you could ever ask for.
Now, the motivational speech, by the way, is Lily Tomlin telling Tom Brady essentially that she has just been through a health scare.
Except she hasn't really been through it again, because as we mentioned already, all she's done is not return a phone call.
All she did was go to a doctor's appointment. Their doctor called her back, and she did interpret that as, unfortunately, you are on death's door. And then there are a couple scenes with her daughter, Sarah Gilbert, who is riding an exercise bike.
He's my second favorite scene in the movie. Sarah Gilbert just like, because she's having phone conversations with her mom, who neglected to tell her that they were going to the Super Bowl, by the way.
Yeah.
Just like lied about it for some reason.
Yeah, why are we lying about it?
Oh, you know, we're in Maine or something. Instead of just being like, yeah, I went to the Super Bowl with my friends. So Sarah Gilbert is just like riding a Peloton or something at home.
Yeah.
But I could not stop laughing at the idea of Sarah Gilbert just them like shooting these scenes with her. She's just by herself, like, all right, you're talking to Lily Tomlin. She might have had a health scare, and like, but you're riding the exercise bike. She's like, what? What is this? And there's another scene with her where she's at the office.
At the office, very late into the night.
Working late.
She's grinding.
Lily and the gals are in Houston.
And they have found their way to a party.
Yeah. Have they ever? Well, that's after the wing eating competition, right?
That is after wings, before Billy Porter, yeah.
So basically, they realize, so they go to the party they go to the wing eating competition.
Yes, and that's where it all goes south, because Sally Field,
she's the responsible one, and
you would think
they give her a strap on. She puts the tickets in her strap on.
Now, is that not a running joke?
Her fanny pack, which she refers to as a strap on.
Correct.
All right, can we just stop for a second and recognize that this movie was great? I had the time of my life.
It was one of the most enjoyable experiences I've had in the theater. Certainly. I mean, it's one of the most, it's the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life.
I was genuinely loving every minute of it.
Like, it's insane.
There are, so obviously it would have been worth it to just watch the footage of the game that they were playing on the big screen, but the movie was genuinely funny. There are parts that are genuinely funny.
There are some parts that are genuinely funny.
There are plenty of parts that are not supposed to be funny, but are hilarious.
Unreal.
Daniel almost got kicked out of the theater from cackling so loud at the heartfelt moments.
What do you want me to do?
When she's on the headset talking to Tom and it's like, you know, this might be the end for me. Daniel's like, ha!
Well, thank God there are only, what, five other people in there? But that's the thing. We were talking about this. Like, it was so hard to tell if the other people in the theater were on the same page as us. Right. Because I don't really think they were. It felt like the people there were, like, legitimately enjoying the movie.
Well, and
like,
I was legitimately enjoying
the movie. No, but you know what I mean. Like, laughing along. Like, oh my God, the shenanigans.
Well, the shenanigans were hilarious. But yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, yeah.
They eventually turned.
I could not help myself. I think your
over-the-top laughing in the theater helped turn the tide.
Everybody
to kind of, you know, have some giggles.
I could not help myself.
It was fairly reminiscent of our viewing of Cats, which might have been the last time I was at that theater.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I think that was our last time at the Culver Theater.
Where, like,
the ArcLight Culver City.
Right. Which was, like, slowly as the movie went on, it got more and more funny and sorry, I just saw the Jayhawk in the audience
here. Oh, well, we love the Jayhawk.
And eventually by the end of the movie the crowd was all cackling
yes.
together at how absurd it was. And there was a little bit of that vibe. If it had been more crowded showing of 80 for Brady, which is doing, you know, fairly well.
Hey, it's making some money.
So best scenes. We mentioned the scene where they get on the offensive coordinator headset and motivate Tom Brady to lead the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history.
Unbelievable.
Other best scene, we mentioned Sarah Gilbert on the Peloton.
I don't think, I can't imagine that scene really stood out for anybody else. It did, but we mentioned it.
I was dying. By the way, when, like, Lily Tomlin's Oscar scene next year is going to be her making that speech on the headset. It's good. If they don't play that at the Oscars next year, something.
They need to let the 80 for Brady gals host the Oscars next year.
The real ones? Next up on greatest scenes in the movie, I mean, it's got to be the poker scene at the party, right?
Wow. Wow.
So Rita Moreno is high on, I mean, they all get high, right?
Yeah, were they taking mushrooms or what? I can't even remember.
They ate like weed cookies or weed brownies or something.
Who gave them to them?
I don't remember.
Me either.
But
just somebody at the party? Why are they at the party? Harry Hamlin invited them?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because Jane wanted to bang Harry Hamlin at the party, and so she convinces them all to go. So they've gone to the wing eating competition. Which Sally Field wins.
Like, the wing competition in which they don't bring out the wings with the sauce on them.
Oh, God.
At the wing competition, they bring out what? A bone dry wing? And they're like, yeah, put a couple dots of sauce on it.
You get to sauce your own wings.
Sauce your own wings. There are so many little things in this movie that just don't make any sense. It just drives you insane.
Oh, I made it so much better. That was the best part of the movie, was the moments like that.
Oh, just wild.
Because it could have just been like your run-of-the-mill dumb movie. But because these moments were so insane, it made it phenomenal.
Like, why? At one point, no one involved in the movie is like, by the way, this doesn't make sense.
I like the idea of Guy Fieri being like, hey, guys. Why are they saucing their own wings in this competition? Because he's hosting the wing eating competition. But he's like, nah, this is perfect.
Guy just really knocks it out of the park. He gives an unbelievable, honestly, to the point where I'm like, I want to see Guy Fieri lead a rom-com.
Guy Fieri should host the Oscars.
Honestly, yes. Better than Jimmy Kimmel. Oh, God, I'm sure Jimmy, sure, put him out there.
Fantastic. So Rita Moreno is wandering around the party by herself for some reason.
Who, by the way, is in her 90s.
Is she?
Yeah. She and Sally Field are like 15 years apart.
Well, Sally Field pretty crazy. makes an ongoing joke in the movie is Sally Field is not 80.
Yeah.
She crosses out on her 80 for Brady jersey. She crosses that out and writes like 78
and
for
that's
Brady.
And that's very funny. And Bob Balaban is at home just losing his mind. I mean, he's got this paper. He doesn't know what to do. I mean,
what is it? He's like a professor or something?
Something. Like,
or she's a professor and he's
the
like.
The fact that was a running storyline that was, what, 3 or 4 scenes?
Yeah.
Of Sally Field. Of Bob Balaban, Sally Field's husband in the movie, being like, I really need you to read this paper, and Sally Field being like, no. And that scene lasts for about 5 minutes each time, and there's about 4 of them.
Well, they each had their own backstories, of course. So Lily Tomlin missed a call from the doctor.
Yeah, she missed a call.
Sally Field has...
the husband who can't...
relies on her to edit his papers.
And
or
she's got to get out of there.
Jane Fonda writes erotic fiction about Gronk and wants to fuck Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
And Rita Moreno's husband has passed away and she misses him and she like...
And then there's that weird guy back at the...
Oh, yeah.
...home who like...
She
wait,
spends
hold
time
on,
at like a nursing...
On.
She lives at the nursing home.
We haven't talked about this. Is that the guy from Happy Gilmore?
Oh, I think so.
Right? Because I think we both laughed when he came on screen. And I think that was why I was like, oh, it's Chubbs. Chubbs, right?
Chubbs, yeah.
Chubbs?
Let me make sure.
I think it is. Which, God, does not make me feel old.
And Chubbs is in a nursing
Chubbs
home.
Chubbs is in a nursing home. Oh, my God.
Ooh, wait.
Oh, no.
Is it not?
Please be him. Please be him. Please be him.
Wait.
It's not Chubbs?
Wait, isn't Chubbs...
Wait, who's Chubbs? Isn't Chubbs the guy with the hand?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hang on. Hang on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Chubbs is played by Carl Weathers.
What is it?
Yeah. What is this guy from, though?
Wait, this guy is from something,
He's very recognizable. It's Glenn Turman.
That was Glenn Turman?
Yeah. Oh, he's in everything, but apparently...
I've hallucinated this entire... I feel like I'm on mushrooms now. Oh, so it wasn't Chubbs. Okay. Interesting.
But he's in something like that. What am I most recognized Glenn Turman from? Well, he's from The Wire.
Yeah.
He's the mayor in The Wire.
Yeah, and then he was just recently in
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
There it is, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you strike out some, you know? Close enough.
Anyway, so he and Rita Moreno both live at the
assisted living place.
But then she decides, like, no, I'm just going to, like, buy a house. I don't want to live here anymore. And he's like, oh, right. You're leaving me? And she's like, well, you can come visit anytime.
Right.
And then he jerks off.
And then we just get scenes of him just back at the home checking up on her.
Remember when they had to kidnap her out of the the nursing home?
Because she, took too many pills? What was it?
She accidentally took sleeping pills.
Oh, and that's a classic mishap.
She was going to sleep through their flight.
Classic hijinks. Oh, so classic. Good. Thinking about those four in a car on the road. Look out.
Well, oh, yeah. Oh, they just had, I mean, did they park at the airport?
Well, that's a great question. They must have. They drove there, right?
They drove to the airport, for sure.
How'd they get from the air? I mean, this is what I would pay to see a whole movie of them traveling. Just, how'd they just get?
Like going through security.
Oh, my God. They don't take their shoes off. I mean, Jane Fonda's got, you know, liquids in there. I mean, there's just too much going on.
Oh, man.
No wonder they never made it to the Super Bowl in real life. Oh, what's sad is they'll never get the chance again.
What do you mean?
That's not happening in the next few years.
How dare you, first of all.
Well, come on. Is it difficult? I mean this. No, hold on.
100 for Mac? That doesn't quite have the same ring to it.
Jones,
yeah.
Jones and for more. That'll be the sequel.
A century for Belichick. No, that doesn't work.
Oh, my God. As a Patriots fan, who the Patriots have been very good for most of your adult life.
Sure.
Is it difficult reeling or dealing with them sort of being a mediocre franchise?
No, they're still a great franchise. It's been three seasons, and they're basically 500 over three. They haven't even had a bad year.
Okay, so the definition of mediocre.
They haven't even had a bad year.
They're not mediocre. They're 500.
They're competitive.
Oh, okay. You know what I mean.
Competitive.
I'm just curious.
I know. It's fine. They could go. The Patriots have won six Super Bowls since I was in junior year of high school.
That's why I'm six asking. Super Bowls.
They could go 0-17 for the next 20 years.
Oh, no, Dick Vitale.
Stop getting distracted.
I know. God. Oh, God.
Hold on. We got to pay off some of the other best scenes. Stop getting distracted.
Oh, look who it is.
It's Dave Bing.
We love Dave Bing on
the podcast. Turn the TV off.
We love Dave Bing on the podcast. Okay, sorry. Do I have the remote? Oh, I do. Yeah, I should turn this off.
Yeah, this is going to end.
You don't want to watch Duke Syracuse?
So they're at the party. Rita Moreno's on drugs. She wanders into a room, and so at this point, do they know that they lost the tickets? Yes. Sally Fields reveals that they lost the tickets.
When does she reveal it?
Or is it not until the next morning?
No, it's not.
But didn't Rita Moreno win so much money in the poker game she thought she could buy a new set of tickets?
Yes, so they must have known at that point. So she goes into a poker game with, let's just say it, Marshawn Lynch.
Well, hold on.
At first, it's 800 Guy Fieri.
Which is one of the best.
My dream.
Honestly, one of the best visual gags in a movie in years.
No, because I had been spoiled on that at some point.
Yeah.
Is that in a trailer? Why did they put that in a trailer?
I don't know. It would have been so good.
I would have lost my goddamn mind.
By the way, what does Guy say when he comes out of the porta potty?
Oh, the fun. I mean, and delivers it perfectly too. So,
well, of course.
So Sally is running around. Restarting. I don't know. Nothing in here works. So Sally realizes she has lost her fanny pack, and so she's
strap on.
Well, right, but that's what she says. So she's like, she goes and like asks the woman running the wing contest, "Where's Guy?" And for some reason, she's like, she points her to the porta potties. So then she goes over there and she's like knocking on the porta potties, trying to find Guy. And she's like, "Guy, Guy, Guy." And I think Sally says, "Do you have my strap on?" And then Guy Fieri comes out of a porta potty and goes, "Oh, you are not who I was expecting." Very funny.
Great. Great
Pretty moment. Funny.
Great moment.
Oh, not who I was expecting. Something like that. Yeah. Not who I was expecting to say that, or thought you'd be, or maybe I thought you were somebody, thought you'd be somebody else, or something.
Right. Yeah.
Which is fun. Like
exactly, but it's great. Yeah.
By the way, just to dissect this real quick, implying the guy yeah. Fieri the night before got fucked. By a woman.
Yeah.
Fucking hot as hell.
Got pegged.
That's hot as hell. Talk about Flavortown.
Wow. I mean.
Wow.
This movie has everything.
Really does.
Now, there's also a scene.
Can you imagine fucking Guy Fieri from behind? Does she have his sunglasses on?
Yeah, they're looking right at you. Oh, man. So,
okay, poker game.
Well, there's also a scene. Oh, yeah, the poker game. So, there's a million Guy Fieri's because she's hallucinating, which, fantastic stuff. Eventually, it turns out it's, let's see if we can name them all. Billy Porter.
Marshawn Lynch.
Who's not playing Billy Porter.
Correct. It all gets very confusing.
He's playing a character named Goo Goo.
Goo Goo, who is choreographing the halftime show?
Well, I believe the backstory is that he was Lady Gaga's choreographer.
Right.
Because they were Goo Goo and Gaga. Package deal back in the day, of course.
Wait, was that the Gaga halftime show? Was that year?
I don't know.
Because she jumped. What state did she jump off? Was that the one in Houston?
I can't remember. I can't keep track of the halftime shows. Super Bowl halftime show.
Where's the Super Bowl next year? Who's going to do it?
It's in Vegas.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's fun. Wait, let's talk about people who have not done the Super Bowl halftime who should.
Okay.
There's one. I think there's one obvious one at the top of the list.
Taylor. Who else has
I wonder if she'll ever do it.
I feel like she will.
I guess, right?
Yeah. Next time,
Is there ever in Nashville?
Huh?
In Nashville?
Oh, that'd be fun. Well, they apparently are maybe building a new stadium.
Are they?
But that'll probably be years.
Who else would be good Super Bowl halftime?
Which Super Bowl was this? Houston.
I don't know.
It was the Gaga show.
Oh, okay. Well, I imagine so. It would have been weird to like make that not real.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I don't remember her jumping off. What is that called? NRG Stadium or whatever?
Yeah.
God, so ugly.
Yeah, the worst.
Ugh. So ugly.
Yeah, who else is on the list other than Taylor as like obvious Super Bowl halftime performers? I feel like we
Drake,
yeah, that's a good one.
Ugh, that would suck.
Yeah, it doesn't really feel like it'll have the right vibe. But
I do wonder if they'll lean into more of kind of what they did last year. Just like a medley of performers and stuff.
Right. Right.
Like, Taylor's the obvious sort of outlier that hasn't done it, I think.
Yeah. And then there are people who are like big enough, like Adele, but that's not a half.
That's not a half. Right. Exactly. That's not a halftime thing. Although I'm sure they take her.
Yeah.
She was at the game. She's at literally every game.
I know. Well, she's dating Rich Paul.
Yeah. How much longer is that going to last?
Yeah. Is there anyone else that we're forgetting as like obvious Super Bowl halftime show performers? I mean, someone else will pop up.
I know. We'll like, who? Was Kendrick Lamar in the one last year?
Yeah.
Right. That's right. That would be cool. No, let me just do a quick Google search. Biggest music artist. I mean, we're forgetting about like
Ed Sheeran.
Oh my God. Could you imagine? I mean, we're forgetting about like, you know, they could do, you know, I was going to say the Foo Fighters, but that would be weird now. But,
yeah, they could do that.
But like people like them.
Yeah.
You know, like those. But when was the last time that, I mean, I guess that kind of did happen last year. I mean, that was sort of a veterans act.
Right.
Kind of.
Right.
But they've kind of steered away from that, right? Like, who's the last sort of, like, veteran to do it?
Probably, like, when the Rolling Stones did it or whatever, right?
That was in Detroit. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago.
But there have been some.
Hold on. Let me run
was
through.
Was Springsteen after that? When was
Paul McCartney? Those are within Paul a few McCartney. Years of each other. All right, so Rihanna, the Dr. Dre-led medley, The Weeknd, Shakira and J-Lo, Maroon 5.
Oh, my God.
Justin Timberlake. Lady Gaga, Coldplay, Katy Perry, Bruno Mars, Beyonce, Madonna. Well,
you forgot the best part of the
Coldplay. Black Eyed Peas of the what?
The best part of the Coldplay one.
Which was what?
Beyonce came out.
Well, I'm just naming the leads here.
Elton John would be fun.
The Who. Yeah, so The Who in 2010 was the last like...
The Who.
Old.
Yeah, they've kind of moved away from that. Elton John
was... before be that, hard. It literally went... They had a stretch where they went, this is what it was. It was the backlash to the Janet Jackson thing.
So they were just like, let's just put a bunch of like old pop art dudes out
so
there.
So they literally went Paul McCartney, then the Rolling Stones, then Prince, then Tom Petty, then Bruce, then The Who.
Wow, before, interesting, yeah.
Before, that was the run of performers post-Janet.
Interesting. Elton John would be fun.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm scrolling best-selling artists of all time. Most of them are unfortunately dead.
Yeah, you need like...
Yeah, like... Well, I... one we haven't mentioned who will... I would hope not be doing it anytime soon is Kanye.
Right. Let's look at the...
I mean, Justin Bieber? I could see that happening.
Maybe, yeah.
Billy Joel.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh my God, Miley would be so good.
Harry Styles could do it.
Oh, that's a good one. Miley would be awesome.
Yeah, that could be cool, actually.
Has Bruno Mars never done it?
Yeah, he has.
Oh, that's right. I remember that one. Miley's good. Harry's a good bet for one.
Yeah, I would maybe install him as the favorite for next year.
That's a pretty good idea. Although... God, I don't know. He's just been touring for so long. He's so, like, kind of...
oversaturated.
Might be... Like, even if... Like, not that he wouldn't even want to do it, but I do wonder if you're him, you're like, people are sick of me.
Right, maybe like, wait till his next album.
Let me take a break.
Fair. Meanwhile, back to the regularly scheduled program.
Metallica should do that show. Yes.
So then what happens? By the way, do you know any of their names? Their characters' names?
Oh, certainly not.
Lou, Trish, Maura, and Betty.
Oh, couldn't tell you. So, Rita wins this poker game. Now, is it clear that she was good at poker before this, or she was just sort of like... high out of her mind, betting on things, pushing in her chips, and
seemed kinda... more like the latter to me. Yeah.
So she wins.
Of course.
She wins all this money. She's like, God,
we can now we did it. We can buy tickets again.
And then they say, oh, we didn't. By the way, we didn't finish going around the table. Okay. Marshawn, Patton Oswalt is there.
I forgot about that.
Parks and Rec's Retta. And then unnamed woman. Should we look that up? Is she from Happy Gilmore? Is anybody in this movie from Happy Gilmore?
I feel like I should just read the plot summary here for the whole movie.
No, please. People get the idea.
All right, I'll just follow along to make sure I don't miss any details.
So Rita Moreno thinks that she won all this money so she can buy tickets to the Super Bowl. Then the dealer, some, I don't know, somebody informs her that unfortunately...
Well, they ask her what charity she's donating her winnings to.
Right. Unfortunately, it was a charity poker game at this party.
Right. But she does give her winnings to the charity of Goo Goo.
Broadway Cares! She gave it to Broadway Cares!
Of course.
Oh, Goo Goo. I mean, Goo Goo doing so much good in this world. So then we're forgetting the scene where Sally Field, like Matt Loria from Friday Night Lights, is attracted to Sally Field and tries to kiss her. We have that. I mean, there's so much.
About that.
So that happens. And so then eventually they cut their loss. We just have to go back. So they go back to the hotel where, you know, it's two in a bed. They don't know what to do. They wake up the next morning and then.
Isn't there a weird, like, in-bed phone call? Is that when the
daughter
calls?
That's Sarah Gilbert. Well, that's what didn't make any sense, remember? Because, like, they're technically...
Yeah, it's probably, 2 a.m. in Houston.
And she's at work. An hour ahead.
All right.
Just stuff like that throughout the movie. Like, I complained about this, but, like, in the first scene of the movie, they're watching a Patriots game that is clearly at night. And in their home, which is presumably 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
Broad daylight. Just stuff like that. You're like...
It's great.
Just so strange.
Great stuff.
But anyway.
All right, so unable to find Fieri, the foursome return to their hotel and decide to resume searching in the morning. The next day, the women go back to the NFL experience, which we skipped over the NFL experience, where...
Oh, my God!
Where Lily was, like, dominating competitors
of that made any sense, by the way. So she's competing in a football throwing contest where she, let's say, has a bucket in front of her, maybe 2 feet in front of her, and then the person she's competing against has to throw a perfect spiral 50 yards down the field.
I think he could have gone in the bucket too, but they're all overconfident.
It's all about points, right?
Lily knows her strength. She was going for the 1 point shot every time.
She's doing the Dr. Pepper student challenge throw.
Fantastic.
Unbelievable stuff.
So the next day, the women go back to the NFL experience but find it's closed down. They go to tailgate parties. They see if they can buy a ticket from scalpers, but they don't have nowhere near enough money to buy even one ticket. Trish finds the radio host they won the tickets from and brings up the situation to them, but they are confused as they gave their tickets to a different group. What was the group again?
They're all named Tom Brady.
It's like a Tom Brady support club.
Unbelievable. That's when they find out that they didn't win the contest.
Right. And then Betty finds Guy Fieri and recovers the bag with the tickets. But then they try to go into the stadium, and that's when they find out that the tickets she bought online were actually
counterfeit.
Fake. Yeah.
Oh.
Gotta be careful when you're buying tickets online, you know?
You really do.
You gotta make sure you have that
fine. Wait, has that ever happened to you?
No.
I actually have a story that I cannot tell on air that I will tell you later. Remind me. I have...
Why can't you tell it on air?
It will become clear once I tell you. It's actually incredibly sad.
That sounds great. Lou confesses that she bought the tickets online for an exorbitant price, along with trading away her car, as she wanted to have one last fun memory with her friends. By the way, Jane Fonda has a best-selling book here, and, like,
that's for sale.
She's clearly
Didn't she do a reading at the Fan Fest, or whatever it's called?
Yeah, or she's at least signed a... Did she do a reading? I can't remember.
I think she did.
Anyway, so they all go, all right, it's okay. Like, you know, we had a great time here. But then they run into Goo Goo. Who gets them in.
I mean, this might be one of the wildest things I've ever seen in cinema. I mean, honestly.
Goo Goo helps sneak them in past security. Or not sneak them in past security. They try to get in, saying they're part of the dance team. And the security guard, played by that guy from...
Ron Funches.
Yes, thank you.
No, but he there was a different security guard. There's multiple security guards at the Super Bowl. It's actually very secure. I mean, you wouldn't know for this movie, but
now the security guard clearly knows they're not dancers, and so he asked them to demonstrate, and they have to prove that they are part of the dance team. And so Gugu brings them together and asks what moves they know, and they say. They rattle off a few dances from, like, the 50s.
Oh.
And then they put together a routine that, frankly, kills it. One of the great scenes of all time.
Frankly, yeah. They're probably going to be on stage with Lady Gaga later.
Well, the security guard goes, well, that was awful. I know. Or it goes, like, you're obviously not part of the dance team, but that was so great.
That I'm going to let you come in anyway. Sneak into the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh, and then they're watching the game in the first half, and Ron Funches sees them on the Jumbotron, immediately knows exactly where they're sitting somehow.
Well, also, they wander up to a section at, I cannot state this clearly enough, at the Super Bowl, where they wander into a random section, and they're like, oh, look, four empty seats. And they go and just sit down. And then start eating hot dogs. But Jane Fonda has clearly never had a hot dog in her life because she doesn't take a bite of it and is doing this like weird thing with the wrapper where she's just like is clearly like she's supposed to make it look like she's like eating a hot dog, but she's like has never had one in her life. So she's just like peeling the wrapper back and like not biting into any of it.
Oh, this whole scene was killing me with like there are shots where, you know, Sally Field or whoever isn't involved in the conversation.
I think it's Rita.
Rita is just on the end of the four and like the two in the middle are talking, but she's just in the background of the shot, just like trying not to fall asleep while they're shooting this. It was unbelievable. I was dying
stuff.
Laughing.
Unbelievable stuff.
Now, so they're about to get kicked out again. That's when they run into our boy, Harry Hamlin.
Yes.
Who invites them up to the box. He's playing Dan, by the way. Dan.
What position do you think Dan played? Did they say?
Dan felt like maybe a tight end.
Oh.
Linebacker?
I don't know. Nothing sounds right. Hunter? Yeah, maybe linebacker.
Now, at this point, it's 28-3, and that's when they sneak off. We've already talked about using the coordinator headsets.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. sorry. I forgot about this part. Betty hijacks the defensive coordinator's headset and uses her vast knowledge of math to give a play call, which leads to a sack while Lou talks to Brady and gives him an inspirational message, which causes the quarterback to gain renewed energy.
Just wow. Remarkable stuff. Now, I want to watch this again right now.
I mean, I do too. Are you kidding me? Now, and then they go back to the box, watch the epic comeback where Mara, I don't even remember this part of the movie, but apparently Mara reveals that she made back the money Lou spent on the fake tickets by making a bet on the Patriots.
I remember this, yes.
Winning with the owner of the suite.
Yes.
Right, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Who was playing the owner?
I don't think it was anybody. Yeah, so she makes a bet that I think they just agreed like on a handshake or something that he would pay her some amount of money if the Patriots came back to win. Huge for them.
Fantastic. And then after the win, they get into the locker room.
How that happened, I don't even remember.
The security guard, who initially didn't like them but then comes around on them, does in fact invite them into the locker room for the post.
How did he come around to them?
Nobody knows.
So, yeah. So then they
go. Like he was kicking them out again, and then he was like, right this way.
So then they go into the locker room.
Yeah.
Minutes after the Patriots have won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And they walk in there, and to be honest, didn't really seem like that much was going on.
They were pretty chill.
Pretty chill. And that's when
Jane Fonda fucks Gronk.
But we haven't really even talked about it. Gronk, listen, an incredible comedic mind. the guy pops on screen.
Absolutely.
You have to admire somebody who, Like, I wouldn't be shocked if Gronk, when Gronk is at home alone by himself, if he's not, like, reading like Socrates. But, like, he's, like, he leans in, like, he's so adept at leaning into being, like, Gronk that you sort of wonder where it stops and starts. But, like, he is so good at being the, like, I'm so big.
It's like, a great delivery.
This guy's crazy.
I got bad news for you. Gronk, there's no start and stop with Gronk. This is what he is.
I think so, but I think there. I love that he sort of embraces being this like doofus.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know,
he loves it.
Yeah,
but like, I've watched enough of him throughout the years of him being on the Patriots. It's like no part of it is an act. This is just who he is.
Yeah. No, and it works.
Yeah.
Sally Field has some time with Danny Amendola.
Right.
Detroit Lions legend. Danny's great. Always love looking at Danny, of course.
Jules is involved.
Oh, that's right. Forgot. And then it happens. Lily Tomlin and Tom Brady come face to face. And Tom Brady thanks her for winning the Super Bowl for them. And then, let's just say it, they swap jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady gives Lily Tomlin.
Well, no, he tries to.
Oh, I forget.
Well, he makes the reference to his jersey being stolen at the Super Bowl, which nobody on earth remembers except for whoever wrote the script.
Oh, right.
His jersey was stolen from the locker room at the Super Bowl.
Right.
And so they were like, let's swap jerseys. And then Tom goes, hey, where'd mine go? My bag was just right here.
Oh, right.
But they don't reference it being stolen. They just count on weirdos like me to remember this story.
Right. Which is so funny because, like, it is funny to lean into, like, such a specific like that where the crux of the movie is women talking into his helmet during the Super Bowl. Like, the stuff that is real and the stuff that is not is remarkable. But, yeah, I mean, Tom and Lily really have a beautiful conversation in the locker room. I mean, beautiful. I mean, it's about life and probably loss and...
That's probably Tom's Oscar scene when he gets nominated for best role as himself.
And then, wow, what happens after that?
The epilogue, which is the greatest movie epilogue of all time.
Well, now, just so funny. I mean, the timing of it all.
Unbelievable. So Tom Brady retires in real life, what, 2 weeks before this movie comes out?
Yeah.
Basically. And then the movie ends. All right, so hold on. Let me just read the last paragraph of the Wikipedia plot summary. 3 years later, Trish, Mara, Betty, and Lou, along with Mickey and Lou's daughter, Sarah. Mickey, I believe, is Glenn Turman. Mickey. He's at the Super Bowl party.
Sure.
Prepare to watch Brady's first game with his new team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, wearing combination Patriots-Bucks-Brady's jerseys.
Well, that pissed me off, by the way.
And it is revealed that Lou is perfectly fine.
That's right. Oh, I know. The bait and switch.
They set it up like she was going to be dead, and they were all gathering kind of in remembrance of her.
That really pissed me off.
And then she was just, like, preparing the guacamole or something.
That really pissed me off, the half-jersey thing. Have some goddamn integrity. Have some integrity, ladies.
So you didn't like what Donna Kelce did at the Super Bowl this year?
Donna Kelce. Don't even get me started on her. I'm not kidding. I hate
Donnie. Her. Was that her name? Donna?
I don't care what it is. I hate her.
Wow.
The amount of press she did.
Is she your new Sister Jean?
Oh my God. You see, Sister Jean's writing a book.
How is Sister Jean still alive?
God damn it. I fucking hate her. The Donna Kelce thing is. God. Donna Kelce, all joking aside, seems like a lovely woman. And God bless her for making the most of a moment. But, like, this is such a... This is so funny. So, like, somebody at work had to interview her last week, like, leading up to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Oh, so, no. Of course, she's doing all of this, like... It's all, like, for brands, right? Like, she's associated herself with all these brands leading up to the Super Bowl. So, unfortunately... The first question they had to ask Donna was, how have kind energy bars influenced your life? And I do believe she was also a spokesperson
for what?
I think Donna Kelce was a spokesperson for Cheez-Its.
That's great.
We love her. God wow. bless her. God now, bless
how
Donna.
How have Kind Energy Bars influenced your life?
Kind Energy Bars suck. Honestly, the 80 for Brady, what's the guy's name? Kyle Marvin? Melvin?
Nobody knows.
He's got to make a movie on the Kelseys.
I mean, he might as well, they're just going to make up the story again.
Well, sure. Yeah, it'll be like, yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, the movie ends with a scene with our ladies on vacation on the beach, on a beach somewhere, discussing retirements. And it ends with a reveal that Tom Brady is with them and basically being like, I'll never retire. And this movie comes out 2 weeks after he retired.
So crazy. Now, do you definitively think Tom Brady's done playing football?
Definitively? No. I mean, I think he is, but I wouldn't bet my life on it.
Sure.
Director Kyle Marvin, by the way, doesn't have a Wikipedia page.
Unreal. Wow. I mean, I do want to thank him for giving us what he gave us. I mean, it really is. It's one of the wildest viewing experiences I have ever had. Like, in so many ways, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface of what this film was and what it meant to me.
It's true. Do you want to know who wrote the script?
No.
Sarah Haskins and Emily Halpern. Sarah Haskins is an American comedian known for her satire about gender stereotypes in the media.
And I love that stuff.
She's also married to the stepson of Julie Andrews.
The stepson of Julie Andrews. All right. Sure.
Wait. Oh. Yeah, okay. Anyway, it's and Emily Halpern. The two of them co-wrote the screenplay for Booksmart.
Oh, that's right. I knew that. See, that does sort of make sense because, I mean, Booksmart, I think, is a phenomenal movie.
As is 80 for Brady.
Well, the thing, I mean, I guess we kind of have been saying it, but, like, do I think that this is, like, a good movie? Certainly not. Yeah. Like, it's insane. It's absurd.
It's awesome.
Would watch it again. But there are moments of like the entire thing is kind of held together by the fact that it, against all odds, does kind of work. Like it is, and I think a lot of that is more so than the script. I think it is like the lead performances. Like we are watching like truly four of the greatest actresses right. of their generation in a movie just like fucking around together. Like that's pretty great. So it does all kind of work in a very odd way. It's not good, but it's like compulsively watchable.
Right. And here's the on Letterboxd here, here's a comment that kind of sums that up. But
sure.
Went to see this as a goof, and then halfway through, my friends and I turned to each other shocked and went, is it just me, or is this unironically pretty good?
Yeah, kind of.
Which is kind of accurate on how that went.
Yeah. It's completely insane.
Here's another comment. To watch this, you have to get as high as humanly possible in a theater full of gays.
That sounds like my nightmare. No, I shouldn't say that. Yeah. Well, listen, I have to get out of here.
What?
I have to get out of here.
Where are you going?
We have to wrap this up.
We haven't even talked about Knock at the Cabin yet.
What do you want to say about Knock at the goddamn cabin? You want me to go first? You go first.
You go first.
I hated it. I thought it was an absolute waste of time. Just terrible. I said absolutely nothing. I thought it was unfunny, unscary, uninteresting, on everything. It was a failure on pretty much every level for me, other than the fact that I thought Dave Bautista was great. Love Dave Bautista. Love him to give me a Bautista bomb. But I thought the movie was really quite bad. And not even in a fun way. Like, if we're talking about old. Like, old I don't think is a good movie, but, like, was fun. This was so just humorless and dry and boring. It was just boring.
I'm gonna put on my boogie shoes.
But yeah, I Knock at the Cabin was a big no for me. I was highly disappointed.
It's a no from you, dog?
It's a no from me, dog.
Wow.
Sorry.
I loved it.
That's insane.
I didn't love it. It's not very good. I had a great time watching
maybe it. Maybe if I'd seen it with you, like I saw it by myself at 10 o'clock at night, and there was one other person in the theater who, by the way, I know I do have to go, sat in the row directly behind me.
Look,
what are we doing?
Oh, he just wanted to be your friend.
She?
She just wanted to be your friend.
Oh my God.
Batista was great. I was in on Knock at the Cabin for the first like half to two thirds. I was just like, all right, we're building to something great here, or at least something interesting. And then it kind of just played straight out as they had set it up. And I was like, oh, there's really no twist here.
Nothing. I just thought, ugh.
But man, I was eating Sour Patch Kids. I was having Reese's Pieces.
You keep talking about the snacks that you started. That's fine. It feels like that's really sort of shading your opinion of the movie.
Yeah, kind of did.
Every time I asked you, what'd you think about the movie? Well, I was having Sour Patch Kids.
And Reese's Pieces. I got them both.
Yeah, I go.
And popcorn. It was the best day of my life.
Yeah, we get it. We get it.
Yeah, not a very good movie. It felt a little like, and this is an annoying way to put it, but a little like first drafty or like
sure
student filmy, where it's like you have this idea and you like,
yeah,
it just kind of was missing.
Well, do you know, because it is based on a book, do you know what happens in the book?
No.
In the book, I guess with like 100 pages. Okay, so whatever. We're not, if you haven't seen Knock at the Cabin and want to and don't want to be spoiled, turn it off.
Good afternoon.
What?
I'm saying goodbye to the people who are turning it off.
Oh,
now.
Got
I'm
it.
Not spoiled.
Good afternoon. Good. I really do have to get out of here.
What do you mean? You're not in a rush. You have plenty of time.
No, I have to be back here in an hour.
Yeah. What does it take? It doesn't take an hour. It takes 20 minutes.
But how long does it take to shop?
5 minutes.
No, I like to take my time.
Oh, my God.
It's a very emotional night for
You're going to the hot food section.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's a very emotional...
Whole Foods, hot foods.
I have to pick up my beer. It's a very emotional night for the Spartan community. Spartan strong. Okay, we have, honestly, for you not to even
start...
Should
we talk about that?
No, because I will start crying. Listen, this podcast is Spartan strong, okay?
Oh boy.
We actually, I have thoughts on Spartan Strong. They might be best for off air, but I do
probably
the Boston Strong of it all. It's like
we need something. We need a different word. You know, it can't just eventually just every town in the country is going to be blank strong.
I know. Well, I mean, it's unbelievable. So in the movie, essentially, these people come to this cabin. This gay couple, the most obnoxious people you've ever met. I mean, I'm just unbelievable. Jonathan Groff, fucking thrown. When he jumped in the lake in his suit or whatever the fuck, it's just awful. I hate him. He's so annoying.
Oh, I like him.
I hate him. The other guy, what's his name? Ben Aldridge? Ben? Sure.
Ben something.
I mean, our first Wawa Weewa, the episode, but Wawa Weewa, I mean, easy in the eyes. If he wasn't as good looking as he is.
Ben Aldridge, yeah.
Would have been even worse, the movie. Loved his boots.
How'd you feel about Wen?
She is so dumb. Like, kids in movies are so dumb. This is the thing. I don't care about this kid. Kids in movies don't talk like kids do in real life, okay? If Dave Bautista came and met you in your backyard, I was like, hey, little girl, she'd be like, ah, and like run inside. She's like, hey.
No way.
I'm picking flowers.
They had the opening scene is the best scene in the movie.
It might be, and that's not saying much.
Dave Bautista works with children in the movie. His character's backstory was something about that. So he knew how to interact with the child.
I don't need you to explain it to me.
Apparently you do.
Well, no. What about it?
That's why she wasn't scared. He approached it in a way that children relate to.
I've worked with children before. Every time I go out to one, they scream. So these people come to this cabin. They knock at the door. They don't really. I guess they do. Rupert Grint's there. And so then they essentially say that they have to sacrifice one of them in order to save the world, basically. Right. And then all these stupid things happen, and none of it makes any sense, and it's dumb, and it's stupid.
Well, they're the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
It's so dumb. Anyway, in the book that it's based... So, in the movie, essentially what happens is Jonathan Groff dies, like, with 5 minutes left in the movie or whatever.
Yeah, eventually they agree. After all the horsemen die and they see that the apocalypse is really coming, they eventually sacrifice one, which is what they were asked to do in the first place.
Actually, the best scene in the movie is that final scene when they're in the truck and they drive out. I like that. I thought that was fun.
When they go to the diner?
When they put the sun... No, when they're...
Post-diner.
Is it post or pre?
Pre-diner?
Pre, I think.
I don't know.
And they put that song on. I was like, this is kind of darkly funny.
My boogie
shoes. I thought that was, like, dark and funny and what I wanted more from the movie. Like, some, like...
Yeah.
Something. Anyway, in the book, with, like, 100 pages left, the girl dies.
Oh.
Accidentally.
Ooh.
I think she, like, accidentally shoots herself or something.
That's way more interesting.
Yeah. But right. But I think that, like, the reason... I really do have to go. But the...
Where are you going?
I'm going to Whole Foods. You can come. Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to see The Lion King on Broadway, like it's 2004. there's been so much discussion and very obnoxious writing about why they sort of changed it. I think essentially just because, like... That's just very dark, and most mainstream audiences wouldn't be cool with, like, a little girl getting shot in the head. But,
that would have been great.
I agree. So why'd they change it? I don't know. Is it because, like, people love seeing gay people murdered on screen? Maybe. You know, that's a whole not, you know, maybe. I'm not saying that, brother, but maybe. Oh, I'm sorry. Who do most... mainstream American audiences want killed more? Little girl, a gay person. Probably going to be a gay person. And that's just what I live with every day.
Oh, man.
All right, bye.